Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're going to be in our favorite book of the Bible, Joshua, chapter 11 and 12. I'll let you guys get there, then we'll open in prayer. Chapter 11 and 12. We're already halfway through this. Yeah. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather together this afternoon, Lord, this day that you have made, Lord, we ask you to open our hearts and our minds to your word, that you would minister to us, Lord, as we go through these two chapters. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, chapter 11, the Northern Conquest. The Northern Conquest. I'm going to go ahead and read down to verse 15. So we'll go 1 through 15. We'll stop there for now. Verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard these things, that he sent to Jobab, the king of Madon, to the king of Shimron, to the king of Ashphath, and to the kings who were from the north and the mountains and the plains south of Chinneroth, which is the Sea of Galilee, in the lowland and in the heights of Dor on the west." Verse 3. "To the Canaanites in the east and in the west, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite, in the mountains, and the Hivite below Hermon, in the land of Mizpah. So they went out, they and all their armies with them, as many people as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude, with very many horses and chariots." Verse 5. "And when all these kings had met together, they came and camped together at the waters of Merom to fight against Israel." Verse 6. "But the Lord said to Joshua, 'Do not be afraid because of them, for tomorrow about this time I will deliver all them slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire.' So Joshua and all the people of war with him came against them suddenly by the waters of Merom, and they attacked them. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, who defeated them and chased them to Great Sidon, to the brook of Misroph, and to the valley of Mizpah eastward. They attacked them until they left none of them remaining. So Joshua did to them as the Lord had told him. He hamstrung their horses and burned their chariots with fire. Joshua turned back at that time and took Hazor, and struck its king with the sword. For Hazor was formerly the head of all those kingdoms. Verse 11, "And they struck all the people who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was none left breathing. Then he burned Hazor with fire. So all the cities of those kings and all their kings Joshua took and struck with the edge of the sword. He utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, had commanded." That was back in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 16. "But as for the cities that stood on the mounds," these are walled and fortified cities he's talking about, "Israel burned none of them, except Hazor only, which Joshua burned." Verse 14. "And all the spoil of these cities and the livestock, the children of Israel took as booty for themselves, but they struck every man with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them, and they left none breathing." Verse 15. "As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua, and so Joshua did. He left nothing undone of all that the Lord had commanded Moses." So let's stop there for a minute. Had a lot of different kings here coming together to fight against Israel, as we just read. It says that when Jabin, the king of Hazor, heard about Israel's conquest in the south, which we read in Joshua 9, he organized a huge alliance between himself and several other remaining kings. So again, these guys are forming teams like they did before to come up against Israel. It says they brought a large group of warriors, chariots, and horses to fight against Israel at the waters of Merom. But you notice God spoke to Joshua, right? He tells him, he assured him he would give Israel victory, right? So this way here, right, when Joshua sees all this happening, all these large groups of people all come together, remember the Lord always said, Joshua, do not be afraid, right? Do not be dismayed, do not be intimidated, for I will deliver them into your hand. Right, the warriors of Israel launched a sudden attack on Hazor's alliance and overcame that. That's the city of Hazor. Right, the alliance retreated, but Israel chased them, and it says that Israel left none remaining. And Joshua hamstrung their horses, as it says, and he burned their chariots, just as the Lord commanded him to do. Right, and after defeating the alliance, the Israelite army conquered all the cities of those kings who were part of this alliance. So he destroyed them all, as we just read. Right, the inhabitants of the cities were killed, and it says, as we just read, that the spoil was shared amongst the Israelites. So God was okay with them taking their stuff. Yeah. All right, so let's go ahead. We'll continue on. We're going to continue here in verse 16. This is the summary of Joshua's conquest. All right, we'll go ahead and read verse 16. It says, Thus Joshua took all this land, okay, so he's conquering, right? It says the mountain country, all the south, which we read about before. It said all the land of Goshen, the lowland, and the Jordan Plain, the mountains of Israel and its lowlands. That was what we read about last week. Verse 17, it says, from Mount Halak and the ascent of Seir, to Seir, even as far as Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon below Mount Hermon. He captured all their kings and struck them down and killed them. Verse 18, Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. Verse 19, it says, there was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. Remember, they made that peace treaty. All the others they took in battle, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts. What's that mean? So God hardened their hearts, these other people. Why did he do it? He did it for his purpose. God did it for his purpose. It says that they should come against Israel to battle, that he might utterly destroy them, and that they might receive no mercy, but that he, God, might destroy them as the Lord had commanded Moses. Verse 21. And at that time, Joshua came and cut off the Anakim from the mountains. You remember them, the giants. From Hebron to Debir, from Anab, from all the mountains of Judah, from all the mountains of Israel, Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. Verse 22, none of the Anakim were left in the land of the children of Israel. They remained only in Gaza and Gath and Ashdod. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord had said to Moses, and Joshua gave it as an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions, their tribes. Right, by their tribes, then the land rested from war. So let's talk about this. So God hardened the hearts, we just read, of those remaining kings of the region, that they would make war with Israel. God turned the Canaanites' hearts to fight in order that Israel might be his judging instrument to destroy them. God gave these nations plenty of time to repent, which we talked about before, from their wickedness, and they never did so, so they were to be destroyed. This is why the Lord was doing this, right? They were unfit to live in the land. They were wicked, wicked people. So God had put it in their heart to make war against Israel, so Israel would wipe them out, right? These wicked nations. It says that in verse 18, it says, Joshua made war a long time with those kings. This took about 7 years. So we're reading about a seven-year period of Joshua wiping out these, going city to city and ridding out all these evil people. It's between, approximately between like 1402 to about 1396, because it's B.C., you count backwards. That's when this this took place, right around 1402 B.C. to about 1396, about that 7 years. This is when all this happened. And we just read, right, only Gibeon submitted without a fight, right, because they came and did the peace treaty with them. And it said that no one made peace with Israel, with the Israelites, except the Gibeonites, which was in Joshua 9. All the inhabitants of the land were killed, including the Anakim in the hill country, except those in Gaza, Gath, and Ashdod, right? Now, Anakim, okay, were descendants of Anak. Anak means long neck. So they call them Anak. That's right. They were related to those giants in the land. Anakim were giants, right? These Anakim giants were from the Gath area. You know, Goliath fought David. He was from Gath. He was from the same area, most likely part of this family, David and Goliath, right? Which is in first book of Samuel, chapter 17, verse 4. It says that Goliath was from Gath, same area as these Anakim, these giants. So he's probably from this lineage. He was probably from this lineage, right? Goliath was 9 feet, 9 inches tall. 9 feet. Nine. Easy one to remember, right? 9'9". Right? And his weight, he weighed approximately 450 pounds to 530. He's a big boy. He looked like he was 3 feet tall, though, when David fought him. Right? He looked at Goliath, this 9'9 guy. He looked like he was 3 feet tall because he had the Lord on his side. He said, this guy, nothing. He said, this unclean Philistine mocking our God. He knew he was done. But that's why, you remember, you read that through the book, that fight, David and Goliath, all of Israel looked at everybody like this 9'9 guy looking at us with this sword this tall, and nobody stepped forward. Everybody's like, I don't know, anybody here take this guy? Anybody down there? And then here comes little David. Wasn't a very big guy. He said, yeah, I'll take him. I got the Lord on my side. So the chapter ends with this, which is interesting. It says, so Joshua took the whole land, according to all the Lord, that all the Lord had said to Moses. It said, and Joshua gave an inheritance to Israel according to the divisions of their tribes. Then the land rested from war. Although there was lots of land still to be had. Okay? I want you to jump to chapter 13 for a minute. We'll go back to chapter 12 in a minute. Jump to chapter 13. So it wasn't over. There's lots of land to still be had. Let's look at verse 1 through 7. I'll read it. It says, now Joshua was old, advanced in years, and the Lord said to Joshua, you are old, advanced in years, and there remains very much land yet to be possessed. So there was still a lot of land. This is the land that yet remains. Now listen to this. All the territories of the Philistines, all that the Geshurites from Seor, which is east of Egypt, as far as the border of Ekron, northward, which is counted as Canaanite, the five lords of the Philistines, the Gazites. So remember, he let the Gazites, it says the people in Gaza were still living. He said, oh no, we still got to take this land. Gazites, the Ash, right? The Ashdodites, same thing. The Ashkelonites, the Gittites, and the Akronites. Also the Avites, the Franklinites, the Teltonites. That's not in there. From the south and the land of the Canaanites and Merab that belonged to the Sidonians as far as Aphex to the border of the Amorites. There's lots of land still to be had. The land of the Gibeonites and all Lebanon, all the way up to Lebanon. To the sunrise from Baal to Gad below Mount Hermon as far as the entrance to the Hamath. All the inhabitants of the mountains from Lebanon, as far as the brook of Meshroth, and all the Sidonians, them I will drive out from before the children of Israel, only divide it by lots to Israel as an inheritance, as I have commanded you. Now therefore, divide this land as an inheritance to the nine tribes and a half tribe of Manasseh. So you see that? Still, there was still lots of land for them to conquer. Not just this little piece of area that they're splitting up right now. Okay, which we'll get into next week. But I wanted you to see that because it kind of ties into what we're reading. It sounds like at that point, they took all the land. God said, it's all the land. But God said, no, we still got, Joshua, your role, but there's a lot more land we're going to have to take. Pretty interesting. So let's jump back now to chapter 12. I'm going to go back to chapter 12, right? This is an actual list of the 31 kings that Moses defeated east of the Jordan River. So this is outside the promised land, right? When Moses was battling, this is before they went in. Because remember, Moses never got to go into the promised land, right? But these are all the kings, the 31 kings that Moses defeated. And then the other half of it is the kings Joshua defeated west of the Jordan River, so inside the promised land. There's some real tongue twisters here in this chapter. I don't know if you guys read it, but I'm going to give it my best. This is something right here. So it says, chapter 12, the kings conquered by Moses. These are the kings of the land whom the children of Israel defeated, and whose land they possessed on the other side of the Jordan, toward the rising of the sun from the river of Arnon to the Mount Hermon, and all the eastern Jordan plain. One king was Sihon, we remember him, the king of the Amorites, who dwelt in Heshbon and ruled half of Gilead from Aor, which is on the bank of the river Arnon, from the middle of the river, even as far as the river Jabbok, which is the border of the Ammonites, not the Amorites, this is the Ammonites, right? Descendants of Lot. In the eastern Jordan plain, from the Sea of Chinneroth, right? This is the Sea of Galilee, as far as the Sea of Araba, that's the Salt Sea, the road to Beth, Jeshmoth, and southward below the slopes of Pisgah, verse 4. The other king was Og. We remember reading about him, king of Bashan, and his territory, who was at the remnant of the giants, who dwelt in Ashtaroth and in Edrei, and reigned over Mount Hermon, over Salcah, over Bashan, as far as the border of the Gershonites and the Machanites, and over half of Gilead to the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. These Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel had conquered. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, had given it as a possession to the Reubenites. You guys remember this. He gave this land to the Reubenites and the Gadites and half the tribe of Manasseh. So let's stop here for a minute. You guys remember us reading this, right? This was the land, right? Moses, well, first of all, Moses and the Israelites, they conquered this land from the valley, it says, of Arnon to Mount Hermon, right? Moses mentioned having defeated the two noble kings, which we read about, right? Sihon and Og, who ruled from Bashan to Moab. But this is the part that you guys remember we read about. Moses gave the land east of the Jordan River, which is outside of the promised land, right? It's on the east side of the Jordan River, to the tribes of Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. Remember back in Numbers 32, these tribes, Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh, they had lots of livestock, and this land outside of the promised land was perfect for lots of livestock. So when they came in and they were close, they saw all this land that was perfect. They wanted this land. But this was not God's plan for them. We remember reading this, right? This was not God's plan for these 2.5 tribes. It was on the outside of the promised land. This land is on the east side of the Jordan. So they went to Moses and asked to stay on the east side of the Jordan River rather than living in Canaan with the other tribes. Moses was not thrilled about this idea. We read about that when they came to him. But he allowed them, as long as they would go into the promised land and fight with their brothers, and then after that was done, then they could go back and they could have that land, right? Which they did. They said they would, and they did. These tribes didn't want the land God promised them. They were more interested in the land outside of the promised land. Now, this is a picture of us, of people wanting to live on the outside of God's plan for your life instead of living on the inside of his plan for your life. Right here in the scripture, which we went over in Numbers 32, I just want to touch upon it again. Right? God never wanted them to be on the east side of Jordan. He never wanted them to live on the outside of his promises. Right? He wanted to bring them inside the promised land. Right? It's like he wants to bring us home into heaven. Okay? But so Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh decided not to live in the promised land. They're living on the outside of God's plan for them. And as I said before, what's interesting, it never went good for them. It never went good for them living on the outside of God's promise. This area became full of demons, right? Over the years, things didn't go well for them at all. These tribes did not follow God's plan for their life. They wanted to do their own thing, right? This is a symbolic picture of us also, right? Are we going to go with God's way for our life, or are we going to go our own way? They chose their own way, and it never went very good for them at all. These people, these descendants of these 2.5 tribes, they had very large multitude of livestock, and by the time they were done, they were pig herders, okay? Not that herding pigs is bad, but biblically, cattle and sheep were clean animals, where pigs were a symbol of unclean animals, which is in Leviticus chapter 11. There's a picture of clean people becoming unclean because they wanted to serve themselves rather than God. Now, they were more interested in serving and pleasing themselves rather than God, and it really cost them. All right, we can learn a lot from this. I mean, that's back in Deuteronomy 32, right? It's not good to go against God's plan for our life. These tribes didn't go into the promised land, and they didn't want to follow God's plan. They missed out on a lot of God's blessings, right? The bottom line of this is once a believer chooses to live outside of God's promises for them, it typically doesn't go well. Typically doesn't go well. Costly mistake for not following God's plan for one's life. But let's go ahead. We'll continue. We'll go back to our finish up this chapter here. Now, these last verses about the kings that were conquered by Joshua. So we just read about all the kings that Moses defeated. Now, these are all the kings Joshua defeated. Quite the list. We're just going to go right through this to the end. So it says, and these are the kings of the country which Joshua and the children of Israel conquered on this side of the Jordan, so inside the promised land, on the west from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon as far as Mount Halak and the ascent to Seir, which Joshua gave to the tribes of Israel as a possession according to their divisions. Verse 8. In the mountain country, in the lowlands, in the Jordan plain, in the slopes of the wilderness, and the south. The Hittites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The king of Jericho, one, the king of Ai, which we recently just read about this, which is beside Bethel, one, the king of Jerusalem, one, the king of Hebron, one, the king of Jarmuth, one, the king of Lachish, one, the king of Eglon, one, the king of Gezer, one, the king of Debir, one, the king of Gader, one of the king of Horma, one of the king of Arad, one of the king of Libna, one of the king of Adullam, one of the king of Mekeda, which we just read about that, one of the king of Bethel, one of the king of Tapua, one of the king of Hefer, one of the king of Apek, one of the king of Lasharon, one of the king of Madon, one of the king of Hazor, which we just read, one of the king of Shimron, Merom, one of the king of Achphaph, one of the king of Tanakh, one of the king of Megiddo, one of the king of Kadesh, one of the king of Jeconim and Carmel. Oh, that's where Elijah was, right by Mount Carmel. That's interesting. One of the king of Dor in the heights of Dor, one of the king of the people of Gilgal, that's where they were camping out, and one of the king of Tirzah, one of the king, all the kings, 31. All the kings, 31. Aren't you glad you guys have come here and say these words? Yeah, not bad, thanks. There's some tongue twist. This is the scripture you guys always go, next chapter. Yeah, I'm going to skip this. Lord, you don't mind, right? I don't know how to say these names, Lord. We're going to go right to the next chapter. Yeah. Yeah, like that's like when you read, right? So-and-so begot, so-and-so begot, so-and-so. Yeah, Lord, you don't mind if I just skip this, do you? Can I just go over here? Yeah. So God gave Joshua victory over all these kings who lived west of the Jordan River. And the land was distributed among the tribes of Israel, which we're going to get into next week. So why don't we, this ends chapter 11 and 12. Why don't we close in prayer? Then we'll have a discussion about it. Why don't we close in prayer? Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this afternoon and the importance, Lord, of us going with you, Lord, your plan, not our plan for our life, as we read back in Numbers chapter 32. It's always smarter, Lord, for us to go with your plan than us going with our own plan, Lord. So we thank you, Lord, for teaching us in the scriptures, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.